This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Jamie, the Rangers get a win last night. They win 4-3. They walk it off against the Chicago Cubs. They win it in 10 innings. Kind of a weird ending for the Rangers, as Jonah Heim had a fielding miscue and then came around to atone for it by getting the game-winning hit with an RBI single. There was a foul tip that was disputed. He thought it was, but it wasn't, and it allowed the Cubs to win or to get a run. Craig Counsell saying after the game they stole a run. The home plate umpire told a pool reporter after the game he ruled it a swinging strike. He was asked if he had seen the replay. The umpire said he had, but refused to talk about what he saw on it. It's not a reviewable play. Heim thought it was a tip, but it was not. And then they just kind of froze. And as a result, it allowed the Cubs to get a run there. But the Rangers were able to salvage the day and win on opening day. They unveiled their big banner for their world championship. And had a big celebration. So it's always good when you have the big celebration and the pregame to go ahead and finish it off for a win at the end of the day. So they start things off at 1-0 in the season. And they're off today, and they'll resume that series with the Cubs tomorrow. Interestingly,
Josh Young with the first run and the last run of the day yesterday, the winning run.
Yes, and the other thing was, and I caught part of this, well, I caught this, Josh Young mic'd up and talking to the guys while he was over there at third base on the ESPN broadcast. So that was pretty cool.
Got two ground balls in it.
He did.
Broke an ESPN record for most action from a guy with mic'd up.
He did. He was asked who would be the better major leaguer, him or Jace, and he said he would.
Yeah, but you're forgetting the most important part of that conversation. And he even told you it was the most important part, that he's the better Fortnite player, and that's all that matters.
Okay, okay.
Well, how embarrassing for Josh.
Yeah. And
going back to Jonah Heim's play real quick. Mm-hmm. Did you see what Jeff Passan said about it?
I did not.
So he's not like an extreme guy. I think that's, for, you know, he's the ESPN.
He's pretty
MLB,
level-headed guy, yeah.
Very level-headed. Mm-hmm. What a horrendous call at home plate in the Cubs-Rangers game. Foul ball was not noticed by the home plate umpire, who determined it a pass ball, and the Cubs score the go-ahead run on top of the ninth. Awful. Hmm. That's not Jeff Passan. Like, that's not what he normally does.
That's true.
That's how bad
yeah.
that call was.
That's true. That's true.
Like
And so, on one of those days, Chuck, where you feel like an umpire has acted up and been a little bit aggressive,
mm-hmm.
it's moments like that when we get comments like that that make umpires more chippy now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He missed a call. He missed a call. No question. Okay? Do we think it was intentional? No.
No.
Is he a human being? Is he going to miss them? Yes. But to hear that, you know, well-respected baseball writers are writing about horrendous and horrible and terrible and all that, you wonder why umpires are a little bit chippy, right? They sign up for a job that's not easy, no doubt. Okay. And it comes with a bunch of criticism. But when you see umpires be a little bit more aggressive and maybe, you know, stand up for themselves, maybe a little bit stronger than they need to, it's because of moments like this, we can all watch replay over and over and over again now and pick apart every wrong call. And when we're so critical of them missing a call, which they're going to do,
yeah.
it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why umpires are more chippy than they used to be, in my opinion.
Would you have rather him just say, hey, I missed that call. I didn't see it. But after seeing the replay, yeah, it was a foul tip. Would that have been better for him to say?
Well, I mean, I don't care. I just don't want to make a. I just don't want to turn an umpire that misses a call into. Him being horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he missed a call.
Yeah,
he's not gonna be perfect.
Right.
You know, just like you and I are not gonna be perfect on this show. We're not.
I'd like to get close someday, but yeah, you know.
Okay.
You're right. I mean,
yeah. But it's different now. We can watch replay over and over again and highlights and mm-hmm. know when every umpire misses a call. I just hate it. We know it's going to happen. I just hate the whole, oh, what a horrendous call. That's terrible. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, okay. Now, if his percentage of missing those calls is higher than most, okay, well, we can say he's a bad umpire, but I just hate when we get so personal with horrendous call, you know, even though he's right. It was a bad one. Okay. He missed it. Okay. He's going to get 98% of those,
mm-hmm.
but he missed it and it's going to happen in sports.
Yeah. No, no, you're not wrong on that. 6:38 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that of the mobile app. Astros will play today. We'll have the game for you tonight, 6:40 for pregame, and then just after 7 for first pitch, as they'll take on the Yankees in game 2 of four, actually. They'll play on Sunday as well. It's strange that the Rangers aren't playing today. This goes back to the old school
Yes.
It goes back to the old school of you want to have opening night. If it gets rained out, you want to be able to still have opening night the next day. Well, newsflash to the Rangers and Major League Baseball, they've got a roof that opens and closes. So you could have, it could be raining cats and dogs and they could still have opening day. So,
that's not why they're doing it, Chuck.
Why are they not doing it?
Well, they're not doing it because they have a three-game series, and they wanted the Rangers to play on opening day because they're the world champs.
Okay, well, I just figured that the reason that they were doing that was just kind of what they used to do back in the day. The teams would, you know, have an opener and then have a day off. I don't understand why they wouldn't play a four game. I don't understand why they wouldn't play on a Friday night.
Because they have 162 games on the schedule, not 163. And they wanted the Rangers to play on opening day and not start the series on Friday.
I get it. I just, you know.
It's odd for a team to be off on a Friday. But over the last 4 or 5 years in Major League Baseball, we've seen that randomly. It's not brand new.
No, it's
yesterday.
Not.
Yesterday.
First,
not.
Chuck was upset that they're playing the Cubs. Now he's upset that they're not playing the Cubs. Will you make up your mind, please?
Well, the fact that the Astros are playing a four-game series is not lost on me, though.
And you know why they're playing a four-game series?
And the Astros will be off one day when the Rangers are not.
6:40 this morning on the Morning Drive.
It's not that difficult to figure out, dude.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
94th Grand National took place. Frank Furlong wins aboard Reynoldstown, a 22-1 shot. Stallion repeats with back-to-back victories the following year.
We've talked about this Grand National before, haven't we?
I did last year, and I got, you know, kind of scoffed at because I kept bringing it up when we were talking about the 100th and the 150th and 170th running of the horse race.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the guy's name, Frank. What was it? Frank what?
Furlong. Furlong.
Okay, isn't a furlong like a...
Yeah, it's a horse racing term.
Sort
yeah.
of measurement?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wondered if they got it from him.
Surely they did, right?
Yeah.
6 years...
How long is a furlong, Chuck?
I don't know. How tall is Frank? I don't know.
Sorry, Jeff. Yeah, you're good. 6 years later, so 1941... The third NCAA basketball championship took place. Wisconsin beats Washington State 39-34. Badgers forward John Crox is the tournament most outstanding player. Maybe it's John Knotts. N-O-T-Z. K-O-T-Z. Maybe it's Knotts. Yeah. 1948, New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox tie 2-2 in 17 innings in a spring training game.
Jeez.
See, that's why I brought that up. because I had the exact same thought. 17 innings in a spring training game.
That's weird.
1976, in the 38th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, Indiana beats Michigan 86-68. First time two teams from the same conference meet in the title game, and Indiana would be the last undefeated team in college basketball to win the championship. 1989, first Soviet hockey players are permitted to play for the NHL. 1994, not a good day for Cowboys fans. Jimmy Johnson quits the Dallas Cowboys.
And then Jerry promptly says, any one of 500 people can...
That was before, but yes.
Yeah, okay, it was before.
Jerry
was...
made the comment, and Jimmy said, cool, prove it.
Okay, it was before, all right.
And in 2008, down to the last two outs in the ninth, Doug Fennis and Taylor Ashby drive in runs as the Texas Tech Red Raiders upset number two Missouri 3-2. It is National Chiffon Cake Day.
Okay.
Tomorrow, we will be celebrating Josh Bard's birthday, who's 46, or will be 46.
Nice.
Today, Earl Campbell, 69. Ellie McPherson is 60. Billy Bean, 62. And Walt Frazier is 79. And on this day in 1973, 2 months after the signing of the Vietnam Peace Agreement, the last U.S. combat troops leave South Vietnam as Hanoi frees many of the remaining American prisoners of war held in North Vietnam. America's direct 8-year intervention in the Vietnam War comes to an end. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History. Thank you, Jeff. With regard to the history of the furlong, it is the word comes from Old English words fur and lang, long, furrow, long. Originally, it was the length of the furrow in 1 acre of a plowed field. An acre is an acre that an acre is an area that is 1 furlong long and 1 chain wide. I don't know if that helps you or not, but then it didn't come from Frank. That's what's disappointing. So that's what I was hoping for.
That's extremely disappointing.
Yeah. 6:51 this morning here on the morning drive. You know, Jamie, early on this morning, Jamie's in Orlando this morning. And we can see Jamie from his broadcast spot. And, you know, I don't know if you have an ocean view with your room, but what I was thinking what would have been really cool is if they had launched a rocket and if it had just gone up right behind your shoulder as we were doing the show. Because they're launching rockets all the time down there. And I just thought, how cool would that be to have a rocket go just right up behind you as you were broadcasting this morning? That's what was going through my mind earlier, but I'm probably the only one that was thinking that. 6:52 this morning here on the morning drive. Deep thoughts.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yes. It would be cool.
Yes. Were you the only one thinking it? Also,
as long as it wasn't Roger Clemens behind me.
Yeah, I was probably the only one thinking it, right?
It would be cool. Uh-huh. You were the only one thinking it.
Yeah,
yes.
I knew that. Basketball last night, and we'll talk about it, but just the scores. I guess I wasn't surprised UConn won. I was surprised it won by 30. It was a rematch of last year's national championship game. UConn appears to be rolling. They win 82-52 over San Diego State. That was in the East. In the West, the number one team in the country went down, North Carolina. They struggled coming out of the second half to score. I mean, I think through about the first 8 or 9 minutes of that game they had in the second half, they scored like 5 points. I mean, it was next to nothing. Alabama wasn't exactly lighting it up, but a late ill-advised three by a guy that shoots 29% from beyond the arc. He was wide open. There's a reason why he was wide open. They chose to leave him wide open. He took the bait, took the three. Alabama got the rebound and secured the win. Clemson, a team that I picked against the whole tournament. I mean, I had them losing to New Mexico, and they're now a step away from the Final Four. They've made it to the Elite Eight. Clemson looks really, really good. They beat Arizona last night, 77-72. And Illinois knocks off Iowa State last night, 72-69. Terrence Shannon Jr. had another big night. He had 29 points for him. He was 10-19, 4-10 from beyond the arc, as Illinois now a step away from the Final Four. So that's a team that I thought about early on. I liked how well they played in the Big Ten, but I had them losing to BYU, who lost in the first round, so what do I know? So they'll be advancing on to take on UConn for the right to go to the Final Four, and it'll be very interesting to see what transpires there with everything that's going on with the Final Four. They'll continue the Sweet 16 tonight. We'll have Houston, Duke, and Marquette playing tonight also. Purdue and Gonzaga, and Creighton and Tennessee. It is 6:54 this morning here on The Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We will have Red Raider baseball on the air for you tonight. This afternoon, 4:30. It'll be still, you know, pretty daylight here at 4:30. 5 o'clock first pitch. 6 o'clock there in Orlando. Other baseball from yesterday. I wanted to know if which of these scores surprised you, Jamie. Kansas State beat Texas 14-6. Kansas wins over BYU 11-1. TCU beats Houston 14-1. Also, Cincinnati beats Baylor 8-3. And then how about Lamar? They take down Oklahoma 12-10. That's a non-conference game, obviously.
Yeah, that would be the surpriser right there.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, those are games you're supposed to win, right? Your midweek game against Lamar. And what in the world's going on with Oklahoma, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, they've been good in conference play, but that was a bad loss there. I believe Lamar's 88 in the RPI.
Okay. And then how about K-State going down to Texas and winning down there 14-6? That's probably a little bit of
I think it was in Manhattan.
Okay, well, I was just looking.
It was in Manhattan. They Kansas State's on top of the conference. That it was a team coming into the season that, you know, many of the experts thought would be a postseason team, but they kind of got off to a slow start in non-conference play. But it looks like they've been playing their best baseball since conference play has begun.
Yeah, the way they have this scoreboard here on the Big 12, it doesn't list where the home. Never mind. At any rate, they get the win. Does K-State? All right, so. Tech and UCF tonight. Kyle Robinson will go for the Red Raiders, and you hope for a better outcome today. It's just they got to have amnesia, right? I mean, that's just the bottom line, and go figure out how to play better baseball today.
I don't know what you got to have, but you got to be better. You got to make better decisions in the field. You got to make the simple plays. That's really what it boils down to, and you didn't do enough of that last night.
Dan in Dallas says this, headed to the 806 today. I hope all have a great time on this special weekend. Yeah, we do as well. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line with regard to, this was a while back. This sure feels like a make or break series. We can't keep losing series that we are supposed to win if we want to have any shot at having postseason aspirations.
I think it's a big series. Don't get me wrong. You came in with both teams at 4-5, and now you're 4-6. If you lose 2 out of 3, you've put yourself even farther, you know, kind of behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you're unable to come back. Okay. It would be more difficult. Yes. But and let me flip it to the make part. Even if you were to have swept the series, I don't know that suddenly you're like, okay, we're winning this thing.
Yeah, right. It's all right? As well, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with the texter. I think it's big. I really do. I just don't think it's, I don't think make or break feels a little bit too strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But either positive or negative. Just because, like I said, even if you had swept it and you rolled out of here at 7-5, you're still way off the lead in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do feel like it was a big series coming in, and I continue to say that now.
Somebody asked this question too, and I guess this is probably a question everybody's asking, or not everybody's asking, but maybe people are asking even within the team or the head coach or his staff. Why don't we ever play good small ball? Is that a fair comment or question or statement?
Why don't we ever play good small ball? Okay, well, I would first tell you that I don't think we play small ball very often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's hard to play it good if you're not playing it.
Right. That's true. I guess maybe the better question on that is in situations, why don't we utilize it when it's there for you? Or maybe that's not okay.
I would say Gavin Cash tried to bunt last night and, you know, popped it up foul and out of play for a strike. That was really only a time you attempted to play small ball. I think you maybe hit and ran a couple times last night, and both times the ball was fouled away. So you did attempt to do it a little bit last night. Not a lot, though. It's just not something that you've done a lot of. Why don't you attempt to do it more? I don't know. I feel like we have tried a little bit more than in the past, but it surely is not something that's kind of not how your team is built. But you're stealing a lot of bases this year. I consider that a kind of a small ball situation. So you're running more and you're hitting and running a little bit more than you have in the past. But I still think it's got to be a bigger part of your game.
Will you go down to the field today and round third and attempt to go home like Lopez did last night and see if the surface is still slick to kind of give yourself some insight for your fine radio broadcast tonight?
A, it was Woodcocks. B, no.
Okay. Oh, the texture here said Lopez. You had said Woodcocks earlier, so I should have had
Lopez
that.
Slipped on a pop fly coming over towards third.
Okay.
He slipped and fell then on a ball that Cade McGee caught. Okay. Lopez did not fall rounding third. That was Drew Woodcocks.
That was Drew Woodcocks. Okay. Yeah. Get the facts all kind of confused here. Sorry. at any rate, you won't go test it out, right? You won't. You didn't take your glove with you to Orlando to.
Man, because you know usually when you're running the bases, you have a glove on.
No. For the Lopez deal, for either Lopez or Woodcocks, either or.
Chuck, there. I mean, just think of all those words that you wasted that you could have used on somebody important today. I mean, you could have. I mean, there might be like. I don't know. You might see Kirby Hocutt at the grocery store tonight, and you'll be out of words because you wasted them asking me if I'm going to run around on the bases.
I know. I feel like I'm going to. I feel like that that God gives you a certain number of words in life, and you're going to have a very long life, and I'm going to be, I'm going to have a short life because I've used up all my words.
Well, I hope that's not the case, man.
Me too.
I mean, I hope you're dropping the knowledge.
I hope so too.
And sharing words and handshakes with folks for I don't know, man. I feel like you're one of those guys that's going to live a long time. I bet you're going to break the century mark, man.
Oh wow, that'd be nice. That'd be cool. I did go over to football practice for a little bit yesterday. The half hour that we were allotted, which I'm grateful for. And I did watch a little football practice. I talked to people. Okay. I don't want you to think I didn't talk to anybody. I talked to,
don't worry.
I talked to plenty of people, had good conversations with folks. And then I watched the quarterbacks throw a little bit. So, it's impressive to watch them throw against the wind like they were, and to see the guys catching the ball, like just 2 or 3 feet in front of you. It gives you, anytime you're up close to something, no matter the sport, it always gives you a better, deeper appreciation for their talents and their abilities. But to see that ball being zipped through the air was That was pretty cool to see that yesterday over at the practice field. So the quarterbacks were... It seemed like Baron Morton wasn't throwing as long as the other guys, but we know that his shoulder's still not fully rehabbed. So that was kind of my one observation. It's like, is there as much zip on his ball as on the other guys? And then, you know, it kind of occurred to me, well, he's still rehabbing that thing, so you don't want him to... You don't want him to throw it out in the spring. You want him to be ready in the fall when it really means something.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, I don't know if we've done this already or not. If we have, I apologize.
If we have, I'll probably give you a different answer.
Okay, good. All right, good. Yeah, I probably will do the same thing. I want you to look at the Red Raider football schedule, and I just want you to give me your predicted record and tell me who you think they're going to lose to. Okay. If there is anybody you think we're going to lose to.
That's a fair comment, since last year I talked myself into a 12-0 record and pretty
11-1.
11-1.
You said 11-1.
11-1. Yeah. Okay, talked myself into it pretty fast. Okay, so Abilene Christian win, Washington State win, North Texas win, Arizona State win, Cincinnati, Arizona, Baylor, TCU, Iowa State, Colorado, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. I'm gonna say. I'm going to say 8-4. I'm going to be relatively conservative as of right now. I'm going to say you're going to lose at Arizona. You're going to lose at Iowa State. You're going to lose at Oklahoma State. And you're going to I'm about ready to talk myself into 9-3. Yeah, I'll say 9-3. I'll stay with those two, with those three. Losing at Oklahoma State, losing at Iowa State, and losing at Arizona.
Okay.
All right. As I look at this, my initial reaction was 9-3, but I don't think they're going to go 9-3. I think you're going to lose, like Chuck said, to Oklahoma State. I don't know that Iowa State is the one you lose to, but I think you lose one of the Baylor, TCU, Iowa State games. One of those three. I don't know which one it would be specifically. I just think that's a hard stretch through that three-game run there to go undefeated. And... Washington State worries me right now. I know that there's a lot of things going on there. And it could be the fourth one that I'm going to say you're going to lose, with Arizona being the third game that I'm also concerned about. But I feel like there's going to be one game this year that's just a head-scratching loss. That it's a game that maybe where you're up by 17 points and end up losing by a last-second field goal kind of thing. I just got that the way this schedule lays out.
So you're saying 8-4?
I'm saying 8-4. I don't know who there's going to be one just random... How did we lose that game loss? And maybe it's to West Virginia at the end of the year. Like, that's a definite possibility, too, that you run through all the way through it until you get to West Virginia. But I just...
Who are the other three, then?
One of the... because it's that three-game stretch. Baylor, TCU, Iowa State. You're going to go 2-1. I think you're going to go 2-1 in that section. But I don't know which one the one is. Arizona. Oklahoma State. And then the fourth one, just scratch head game.
Okay.
I mean, it could be Abilene Christian is the scratch head game.
Oh, my God.
It could be. I'm not saying it will be, but it, like that kind of like you have no business losing this game. That's your one loss. Am I making it too complicated?
It's March the 29th.
There were just rules put in place that you completely ignored. I mean, yes. Kind of the fun of the game is for you to tell us which ones. Mm-hmm. You're not one of three. Not there's a head scratcher. I mean, kind of that's what we were going for. But hey, you know, It is what it is. I'm pretty close to where Chuck is, okay, with feeling what's the wrong word or the right word here?
Uneasy?
About, that's good, Iowa State, about Oklahoma State, and about Arizona on the road. All three of those I have right now kind of penciled in as losses. But I have one more, and maybe this is the pessimist in me. Maybe it's because it's a game that I would hate to lose. But TCU on the road.
Mm.
I have as my fourth loss. Okay. I have us as 8-4 right now.
Okay.
And there's no good reason for you to lose that game at TCU.
Yeah.
Except for it's quote unquote on the road. Yes. But they're not a better football team than you. I don't think they will be. That will really surprise me if they are.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep track. I've written down the March the 29th, kind of where we are, and we'll see how this changes as we learn more and more about this football team and, you know, have observations or as things change. Somebody said this, Chuck's pick for a head-scratcher loss is North Texas. Notice I avoided that. I avoided any discussion of North Texas. That would be that. Syntex Hank asked this, did I hear Chuck correctly that Morton is still rehabbing his shoulder? That's our understanding because that's what he said. That's what Baron Morton said, you know, at the start of spring practice when he was made available. How bad was it? I don't know. I think it would tell you that it was bad enough that here we are in March, he's still rehabbing it to a degree. I mean, I think it's, look, he threw the ball well yesterday. It just didn't look like he was throwing as long as others. And again, it was a short time that I was able to watch. And so we'll see. But again, I'm sure that they're very calculated in how they're treating him and making sure that he's not going to have a tired arm coming out of the spring. So, but that's words that he used. They didn't have a blue jersey on him or anything like that. Nobody's getting hit. None of those quarterbacks are getting hit. They were doing, you know, just out patterns to the sideline against the wind, which there was times that the ball was kind of floating around for all those guys, no matter how hard they threw it.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from the First United Bank here in downtown Lubbock. Good Friday morning to you. It is a Basketball Baseball Friday presented by Abundance Energy. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. So is the Visual Edge IT hotline. It is open too at 806-771-0973. Would you like for Bruce Weber to come back to the Big 12, Jamie, and after a year off in retirement?
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't love it. It just would be.
It just would be. Okay. It just
would be.
It just would be. Okay. I understand.
I mean, I don't dislike the guy. Okay. I also don't. I'm probably not as
enamored
by antics of coaches on the sidelines and all that. I'm not bothered by it as much as you are.
I mean, yeah, I'm not necessarily bothered by it. It's just I find it entertaining.
I think your distaste for him had more to do with Kansas State than anything else.
Probably so. I'd probably like him if he was at Oklahoma State, maybe. I don't know.
We know you would if he was at Texas Tech.
I'd love him, yeah. Yeah, I'd love him if he was here. He'd be like, hey, welcome. Welcome. What can I do for you? How can I help you?
Can I buy you a jacket?
You have to earn it, Jamie. You have to earn it.
You look like you need a jacket, Bruce.
You have to earn it.
Can we not get rid of Grant McCaslin at this point?
Right, no kidding.
I
mean, right.
I'm just throwing that out there. I thought he did a pretty decent job. There's no reason to replace him at this point.
No.
Has he gotten a jacket?
No, I didn't promise him one.
What's up with that?
I didn't promise.
I mean, he was about 500 in Big 12 play.
Yeah.
We were significantly not off, you know, away from that on the football side.
Whose first year was better? Second question of the day.
Second
question. Whose first year was better, Grant McCaslin's or
Joey McGuire's?
Joey McGuire's.
So McGuire goes
7-5.
7-5, and then wins the bowl game. So he finishes 8-5.
Man, that's tougher than you think it is.
I agree, because I'm going to say Joey McGuire, because you hadn't been above 500 in the Big 12 since 2009.
But he didn't take over a complete dumpster fire either. There was talent on the football roster. That's why we were so frustrated. That's a lot tougher than you think it is.
Yeah.
No, you're not a very nice person, Jamie.
But it wasn't like the cupboard was totally bare for McCaslin. I mean, it was bare. I mean, there were people there, but it was barer than you would like it to be, without a doubt.
And it wasn't a dumpster fire for McGuire when he came in.
No,
there was a change. There was
Sonny Cumbie had kind of settled things a little bit. You know,
I'm going to go McCaslin had the better year because of where he started. But that's a lot closer than you think it is.
What do you think, Jamie?
I'm 100% with Jeff. I think you were a bowl team that went to a lower level bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, you were a bowl team that went to a lower level bowl game. I think Grant McCaslin took a team. I think the cupboard was pretty bare. I mean, he remade that whole roster for the most part. Not entire, but for the most part. And took a team that was an absolute disarray, a mess a season ago. A joke of a program. And took them to finishing above 500 in Big 12 play and being tied for third in the Big 12 conference. Yeah, I think Grant McCaslin's job was harder. I think he did a better job.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, all of that is fair, because
now let me say this though. I think it's a harder thing to do to turn around a football program than it is to quickly turn around a basketball program, especially in today's super exciting and fun era of the transfer portal.
It certainly makes it interesting, doesn't it? Certainly makes
No.
Unfortunately. I was like tongue in cheek on that.
Makes it very much less interesting to me.
Yeah. It's unfortunate what has transpired. He did, I mean, the guys that came back. I mean, Lamar Washington wasn't a significant contributor. He's probably a transfer portal candidate. Same thing with DeMaurion Williams. Pop Isaacs came back. Robert Jennings came back, and Kerwin Walton came back. Those are the guys that that came back for him. There were obviously transfers and then super senior. Our seniors that moved on, but yeah, no, you guys are probably right that the tougher job was that, and I think your point is well taken, Jamie, with regard to you can turn around quicker than you can on the football field just because of the number of players. You know, Coach McCaslin brought in Chance McMillan and Darion Williams, who obviously had major impacts on this team, along with Joe Toussaint and Warren Washington. And then you kind of look to the future a little bit and go, man, Emily Alaho, and then what can Devin Cambridge do for you this next year? And what if he had been able to stay healthy, hadn't gotten injured, how would this team have changed? What would it have looked like with him, you know, with a full season? So that'd been interesting. You know, it's also interesting kind of seeing guys go on and play for other teams, like T.J. Shannon or, you know, even Fardaz Amak and even one of your coaches, one of your assistants from last year. Corey Williams, Jamie, the NBA champion from the Chicago Bulls. He's an assistant at Clemson. And Clemson won last night, and they're off to the Elite Eight. So you think about his life a little bit and what it was like a year ago and how it is today. You go from being the interim coach for one game and then everybody being dismissed, and then a year later, you're a game away from the Final Four. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for him,
it's pretty cool.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.